Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus upon us. And we know, Lord Jesus, you are here with us. We just pray that you will speak through our mouth and open our ears of understanding to be able to enjoy this fellowship and enjoy this message. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As you all know, we're talking about the marriage relationship and what we have done the last two sermons has been more or less talking on the idea what the Lord expects from us, what is it, what's the need for the Lord. And we know we are not there, at least I know I'm not there yet, so we need to now begin to talk at our level and bring it up to our level where we can talk on how to move towards the direction where we want to go. Praise the Lord. So today I just want to list over here some of the Bible verses and literatures and things that we can begin to use. Let's talk about it. Let's go through some Bible verses. Just read some Bible verses first. I want us to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. You can actually go and read it yourself. It's chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4 has to do with relating to people, relating to one another. It's not all talking about husband and wife now. It's talking about relationship as brethren, as human beings to human beings. And like I said, marriage is also a relationship. The way I relate to I as brother X, relating to brother Y in the fellowship, in the household of God, it has to do, I just respect when I'm talking to him because he's not my servant, like the Bible says, neither am I his servant. So there's a respect that we have for one another in talking to one another. The same way when you are talking to your spouse in the house. The same way, I mean, I remember somebody that gave a testimony in the place where I work. It happened to be, there was a Bible study group in that place where I'm still working there right now, American Express, and they meet on Wednesday. And one of these guys, when we were discussing some passages in the Bible, he said, you know something, his wife mentioned to him that the way you talk to some of those women in your office, you don't talk like that to me here in the house. And he realized that, yes, that respect you have for, she is a worker with you, you don't just boss, you don't talk to her one way or the other. There is a kind of respect that we show to human beings, nothing. Even if she is your secretary, you hire her and she's working for you and you are paying the salary, but you still don't talk down on her, nothing. There's a form of, she's somebody else's wife, nothing. The same way, but that's what we mean by relating to human beings. There has to be some form of respect. So when we read all these chapters, that is not talking to husband and wife, it's talking to human beings generally and how you relate to outside world also. Those are the things we have to now apply even in our households, because that is the principles and the principles of Christ, how you relate to human beings. So let's go ahead and read 1 Peter chapter 3. You may say, well, she's my wife. Or when you begin to put self into it, that's when we begin to have problems. Self means, this is mine. When you begin to be mine, I, me, that is where problems begin to come from. You know, we have been reading a lot of literature from some of the things the Lord has led me to, that made me to see that if we begin to tune down possessiveness, it's on both sides, husband to wife, wife to husband. If you begin to tune down that possessiveness, you begin to see that, in fact, there is some of the writers or some prophets, some ministers in the 1600s that the Lord has led me to their literature. I was reading some of their literatures and they were saying some things that have to do with what I'm just pointing out. And this particular writer that talked about self, how you deny, how you crucify self. And it has to do with everything we are trying to relate to. We want to crucify this flesh for Christ so that we can really get up there with the Lord. It was really related to the fact that you have to actually don't try to claim anything as yourself before you can really begin to hear God. Because it is that, in a way, it was actually saying, it is when you claim this as yours that you become entangled in that thing. And just a different story in Israel, but I'm just trying to bring it in the same line as when we're saying, when you begin to have that possessiveness that this is my wife, that's why you're talking this way to her, this is my husband, that's why I'm almost controlling. You can't control brother X like that, even though he's in the same fellowship with you, but you are controlling brother your husband at home, or you're trying to control this fellow at home. It's the same type of self that you have to crucify. So that, but let's go into 1 Peter chapter 2 and start from chapter 3. Let's just read. So we are all like sheep going astray. We are now returning to the shepherd of our soul. And he's talking to servants, he's talking to everybody. Now he's going to begin to talk individually to the wives. But go now to chapter 3.
Likewise, you wives, be subjected to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or putting on of the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto
him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we won't go through the rest of let me first just give you guys these Bible verses. You can write them down and meditate on them yourself for a story. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. Just read it and you at your leisure time. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to 6. I might refer to some of these as I speak on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 25. That's the whole of chapter of Colossians. Well, these are all principles of Christian living. Everything that is there is relating to human beings, relating to one another, and we've got to show forth those fruits in our relationship to one another, and between husband and wife, also between children and children. Colossians chapter 4 also, verse 1 to 6. Romans chapter 12, because when Apostle Paul got to Romans chapter 12, now he was dealing with ways to live our life, to walk with one another. Romans chapter 12 and the chapter 13. Then Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 7. So those are the Bible verses that you can really study. These are study guide. Now, what I really want to talk about this time is why we, just like we have said, there will be always some issues as you relate in the household right now. As you relate between husband and wife, there will be issues. And these are the parts of it where we are now saying, well, we are human, but we have a goal that we have to shoot for. But as human beings, that rub shoulder to shoulder, even if you are just bachelors and living in a dorm, there will be places where you rub shoulder to shoulder with your roommates, and you just have to show forth all those attributes of Christianity to live together in harmony. But it becomes extremely important, because this is a union that you cannot say, just let's separate, go and live in your own apartment, go get your own room. It's not possible. Remember when we're bachelors and people come and, I know a brother can testify to it, he came and stayed with me and I said, well, brother, clean the kitchen, it's not clean the kitchen. He said, well, you better go get your own room. But that's possible, but that won't be possible when it's marriage. So that is why it becomes extremely important that these fruits, this manifestation of all the Christian relationship have to now begin to be manifested in your life, both husband and wife. And then we can describe the life of the relationship of husband and wife in this category, and we're going to talk on this category. This is some of the things that the CD that I gave to you of that man talking. He actually has, like I say, yes, six albums, or we call six CDs. I only gave you one of them, but he described them in so many ways. Compatibility is one of the categories we maybe talk about. What is the compatibility? I'm already married. Yes, we are already married, but what makes people to disagree is got to do with some. Maybe compatibility is not like where we are not compatible, so we separate. No, it's not talking about that. I'm talking about compatibility when it comes to values that you may have to resolve. You have to talk about it, perhaps. You're going to talk a little bit about that. Then what about understand apostle? If you read verse 8 that we just read there, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, you see why compatibility is very important. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, How can you be of one mind? That means you are compatible. But Apostle Paul said, be all of one mind. So we always think about one mind as Christians, being one mind. Even the husband and wife to be one-minded, then that shows that there must be, we have to resolve some incompatibilities. When we go into that, we give some what we mean by compatibility. You should be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Courteous part is what we saw when I said some minutes ago. God will begin now to address one another with respect, just like if I'm addressing a co-worker in the office, I know that it's not nice to boss her around, even though she is hired by me. I cannot boss her around. She is going to react. It's a human feeling to react. So those are the things that we begin to work on as when it comes to relationship. The other thing we perhaps we need to, this is groups, and I'm going to talk about this group of compatibility issues. Then what about understanding one another? You've got to understand your spouse. And if you look at verse 7 there, 1 Peter, he says, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Another place here, according to understanding. That is the understanding that, hey, I know you can perhaps see some things that the other person cannot see. You can see spirit. Why do you think God is letting us on? Sometimes God can see what we cannot see. So he gave us warning. Because he saw the forces that is against us. The spiritual forces. Then you say, well, if God has seen that, then I'm not the one that is in error. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. There's a spirit called Satan that entered the serpent, assuming that the serpent is just a physical one, and the devil made them sin. But what happened? When God came down, Adam said it was the woman. The woman said it was the serpent. And who got punished? All of them. Amen? Who got punished? All of them. So that is why understanding becomes very important. You're going to say, well, if you have the understanding that, hey, I can see who is at fault. I mean, God understood that it was the devil, but God punished all of them. That's what I'm trying to say. But God, because of God understanding our problems, the Bible says Christ came, and when he came, he has suffered the same type of things he would do without sin. But he is able to support them that are tempted. Which means he understood most of our problems that we couldn't understand. There was time we say that I said, sometimes we don't know what force is pushing us, what force, invisible force that is leading us, that's making us react or act like this. And when you can see behind the veil that, hey, something is around, something is going on, then that is dealing with somebody with understanding. That is dealing with knowledge. Then you are, if I can see that something is tying this thing up, then I will be more patient. I will be more gentle. Those are the things that we see. That's why God gives us a longer rope. Give the whole world a longer rope. Look like God is giving the world 6,000 years, and look at America where it is now. It should have been blown away many times, but God is still giving us a longer rope because of knowledge and understanding. So we are going to have to deal with one another with understanding, and it's giving that responsibility to the husband. Say, the husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, really understand what is going on many times, and he give an example. This is just an example, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Weaker vessel, look at, let's look at it this way. Many of you have china plates in your house. If you don't have china plates, you have this porcelain one that you don't want to drop, otherwise it works, it breaks. Well, it may be very precious to you, because not because it can break, but because it costs more, not so. So, but what about the pots that are made of iron? You don't care if it fell down with plastic. You don't care if it fell down and pick it up again. So he's saying, think of it as a weaker vessel, but still precious. If it's a weaker, because it can break, but if it's china, you don't have to carry it. You don't even use it casually or uselessly. So you've got to be very careful. And that is what he's saying, when it's a weaker vessel, weaker but precious, just like a china plate that you don't just use as you like. You keep it for elegance. So that is what he's saying, but that is understanding and knowledge, and he's saying we've got to dwell with one another with that type of knowledge and understanding. So the other thing also that is going to be essential to talk about is communication. Communication is extremely important. We always talk about that, and there are many verses we are going to read about to when we get into that section. Maybe we talk on one or two of these and take another one in the next. Communication, the Bible say a lot about, Solomon said a lot about, when is the communication? Actually, the word that comes out of our mouth. Because that's what everybody thinks of when it comes to communication, but it's much more than just what we say. Even how you say it is just as important as what you say. So we all know that. But Solomon has given us a lot of Bible verses in how you speak. He said that a gentle answer point we are at. But all of those things that have to be communicated has to also, you see it in the Bible when Apostle James was saying, our tongue become like very delicate. That shows what you see and how it's going to be hard and how they're going to respond to it is going to be critical in daily living, in our living one with another. Anybody you are living with in your household, even with your children, communication becomes essential in making sure that things run smoothly. It's the only way that you can even work to solve problems. Communication is going to be a tool that you're going to use to solve most of the problems that we come up in life. Then we're going to talk about the aspect that really, because we all know about that, is the divine love. So what is love? We're going to really go to the scripture and narrate that, because that has to be, we know, everybody knows that love is what Christ said for the whole church as human beings, as Christians, that by this shall men know that ye are my disciples when ye have love one for another. Now if he commands love in the household of God, which we all know that is still not, we are not there yet as far as divine love, that also is the same thing in the household of husband and wife. Not the, we also know where the love for another family get married, yeah, but why are they fighting there in the house? Why are they quarreling in the house? We don't see brethren fighting and quarreling like that, but in the household you see husband and wife fighting and quarreling. So something then is without the love, that they really love one another. So we have to talk about that divine love that Christ is talking about and see from the perspective of the Bible, what does the Bible say? What is that divine love? That is not the arousal, passion love that make people call the fall. I don't think we fall in this one. In the love that we're talking about, which is called agape love, it's not a falling. It's an unconditional one that God has for mankind. We've got to have it. And it's going to be the one that will be ruling Christians. And so if that is what is ruling, then it could be for everybody. But I want to point something out here. We are all Christians. We are here to love one another also. Which means there should be a general love for all Christians in your heart, in my heart, for all of one another. This is what God showed to me when I was planning to get married many years ago. Yes, I will love all the brethren, we love all the brethren, but this particular wife, lady that is giving to me is what I can touch. So the only difference then is the divine love we are talking about should be for all man, for all Christians. No, so it should be between mine and you everybody. But he has given this one to you, you can touch this one. That means it's much more than just the general love, but I can touch her. She can touch me. That is the only major difference. So that, but the love should still be there. That should be ruling the Christian life generally. The love of God that we are talking about is still the day that ruling Christian life. But then all these fruits that love has should also be applying both for Christians to Christians or to husband and wife. But this wife and the husband, they are now having a special privilege like Aaron. Take for example Aaron. God made Aaron to be the priest when he was selected. He said, Aaron, you are going to be the high priest and your family is going to be high priest, but I give you the Levites to serve Aaron. So there's a very important principle I'm trying to point out here. God said he gave the Levites to serve Aaron, but the rest of the Israelites had to stand back. They were not allowed to come closer to the sanctuary where God is dwelling. The Levites were serving Aaron. Okay? Now Aaron is I was serving the Lord in sanctuary. But there's somebody that Aaron, when Aaron leaves the tabernacle and he goes home, he has a wife that ministers to him. That's different from a Levite. So which means that wife is like a Levite. Even if she's not a Levite by birthright, she's ministering to Aaron just like those Levites that are carrying the pots, are carrying the place. They are also ministering to Aaron. Okay. So you can see how God divided the labor for his sanctuary. Then he said, let us survive, just stay back. But the same similar thing when he said, he gave you a wife, and that wife is to help you do the work you are doing for the Lord. Do the work that you are doing that mission, like we said in the first sermon, that we are missionary. Every man that God today give you a project. You're going to have a mission, and then he gave you a wife to help you along the way. Now, the fruits of the Spirit that we are going to talk about, and talk of love, is going to cover everything we are going to do for God and for in the household of faith. And then the last part of faith, which is also another group, is the romance part. I call it the romance part, which perhaps could be a problem in the household of individual household, because families break up because of romance. What they do in their, you know, on their bed, or what they don't do, whether they are satisfied or not satisfied. Or those are all the things that you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to go into that. Maybe we'll join it with the love at the last part of it. Then we're going to go into the describe a little bit of everything, because I'm not an expert in any of this lecture. I'm just going to touch this and give some Bible verses that we can go back and relate to. But what I prefer, pray for, and asking each one of us to do, which is difficult, very difficult, is to talk about it between you and your spouse. Not talk about it, to discuss it, almost like in your own Bible study, about you as you talk about it. Can you do that? I find it difficult to do that myself, so I'm not going to say you must. I'm just saying, hey, maybe it's going to be a better thing. Like we said, we have a goal, we see the goal, this is the target of the perfect man, the sons of God. We want to get to that height, all of us, both man and wife, have to get to that height. Okay, we may not all reach that height at the same time, but we have to be pursuing it. Now, I'm going to be helping her, she's going to be helping us me along as we go towards that height. So maybe we need to have a Bible study, like we have in Bible, it's like a Bible study. And I want us to begin to have questions after, and this one we have questions on what we're discussing. It's like a Bible study where we take the Bible verse and we read it and we discuss it. That is the Bible study. You should do that in your own house when it comes to these topics, and see how you can now apply those Bible verses and apply it in your individual, your own situation may be different from my situation. Actually, if the devil is attacking people, he knows where he can really make this fellow fight this fellow. It may not be the same area with the devil means fight this, my spouse. So that is the devil we want to keep off from our household. So we're going to do a little bit of that, but I'm encouraging everybody that those Bible verses, you can make it your own Bible study at home. Take time to do Bible study of all those Bible verses. Now let's go a little bit and talk about this compatibility aspect of it. I will just mention some key things that we need to be thinking about when we say compatibility. For those who are still planning to get married, they will say, well, for me to get anybody, I must make sure that I'm compatible with this person. But what do you mean by compatible? It's got to do in your opinions about life, not so. How do you view life? Opinions about life is what we talk about. You see, well, if he's a believer born again, and I'm a believer born again, automatically we should be compatible. Automatically you have many things that are common. That's not mean that you are all able to be compatible. This is the key thing that we have to remember. For many years, you are raised by your family, and you have gone through a direction called your background. That background has shaped your life. Many of us have a background of maybe 15 years before even we knew Christ, for those who became born again when they were teenagers. Some people were born again when you were 7 years old, but they were associated to a family, friends, colleges, schools, that have shaped your life. That is your background. It's giving you, it oriented you one way. You may not realize that, but you are telling, and then you have another man or another, your spouse coming from another background that has oriented him or her that another direction. That is going to make a difference when it comes to compatibility. It's not just when we get born again, some of the opinions change, that has to do with how to live our life. That is why we are pointing back to those Bible verses, because many people, really, even though they know that the opinions will change, that they have not known those Bible verses to really surrender to them. Like we just said, go back and read those First Peter, Ephesians chapter 5, and see the lifestyle of Christians that have been described for us. They should be shaping our life, but they do not uproot all the other background. And even the background may even have to do with the people you have been fellowshipping with. Remember, when we are fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost fire, we have a mindset. Some people that fellowship with the, maybe the deeper life, they have another mindset. Well, what makes a difference? It was from what tree were they feeding from? from what tree were they feeding from? We also have, that's part of our background. So that background is going to make some compatibility issues. So that's why I'm trying to make us to see that then we have to begin to analyze that if we are going to be having some discussion on our compatibility, there are some key things we need to talk about in your own household, in my own household. That you, let's take for example, you may say, well, this is not coming to the practicality, I'm pointing to some practical things that we don't need to discuss them here. Take for example a man that has been raised by a family, a parent, that he just believes that he must have as many children as the Lord gives to him. And another spouse that comes through, and because of how the background has come, he or she does not believe that, he or she believes that they have to do what the world says, control how many they bring to the world. Well, that is compatibility right there. And you say, hey, what does the Bible say then? That is where we now come. What does the Bible say is where both the two spouses, the husband and wife, should now say, if we have all followed the Bible and you have followed the Bible, should we let the Bible be our guide? Or should we just follow the policies that we hear from our background? The policies in the background will be, if you are raised in America, that's your background. If you are raised by a multi-polygamous family, that's your background. It makes this a completely different mindset. You see what I'm saying? So those are the compatibility issues that plays in even in the Christian household. That's why we are calling people back to the Bible, back to the scriptures. So let this scriptures be what you will make your own role model. You have to say, well, how can I use the scriptures to be my role model? Study it, discuss it. Let the Lord shine His light upon it, and you will make your decisions on what the Bible says. You say, well, what about interpretation of the Bible? Well, there will be some God questions. There will be some question about interpretation. That preacher said, you can listen on the television. You see a preacher preaching this way, you say, well, I don't think that's the interpretation is right. There will be some question about interpretation. You can turn to, you can disagree with your husband's interpretation or your wife's interpretation. So all of those things still have to be resolved when it comes to topics, like I just mentioned. That's an example when I say, how many should we have, should we just follow the course of this world, or should we follow what the Bible says, or what does the Bible say? So those are, without pointing to, I'm not going to be discussing the detail of that, I'm just pointing to examples of what compatibility means. And when people are trying to hook together in marriage, they can be discussing that, as say, well, he doesn't believe this, I don't believe that, and so let's not even go in this direction. But now you are already on the direction. Those are examples. All about another example is financing. How do you manage your money? It could be a compatibility issue. This one was raised to just spend. I mean, never really control anything. The parents, I remember a brother that stayed with me one time and said, I called that brother down and said, hey brother, you can't just use the pot and ask him to come down and wash the pot. Come down and watch the pot. And you know what brother told me one time? He said, gee, you are behaving just like my mom. You are nagging. I said, well, maybe your mom was right. Praise the Lord. So now, well, that is an example of background. He has been raised by a mom that does all the things, and he just washed, eat and go upstairs and be reading his book. And the mom has to do the cupboarding and the cleaning. But now he's just staying with me for a few weeks, and I said, gee, if you're going to stay with me for 1 month, I've got to use the pot. You can't just leave it and I wash it, and when you use it, and I wash it again. No, come and wash it, then I'll use it again. So what I'm saying then is, those are background, and it's going to affect relationship if you're now married. It's going to affect relationship. And you've got to have to decide, now that you're married, how do you resolve things? Those are issues that makes argument. When you look, all of you remember, in the house, in this world that we are talking about, marriage and so on, what makes argument, what causes fights, it's not the big things. No, it's those small things, those small things. Those are the bones of contention. Those are the things that you've got to learn the Bible rule. Well, you see, if you're going to get the Bible rule, I will be like a fool and be doing all the work, or I should talk about it. Now you have to decide. Should I just say like that, brother? As I said, see, as a Christian, don't even complain, just worship and just be serving. I can do that today and do it tomorrow and do it next week. Sometime I may begin to say, gee, I also feel tired today. I come back from school and this sport is not worse. What should I do? You gotta talk about it and resolve so that it does not repeat. All you can decide is, let me just be servant and just keep doing it. You can do it that way too. You can do it that way. But there will be a time when you may say, no, I don't think we want to do that. We may never just talk about it and make an arrangement here. So that is what we are talking about. Maybe if you schedule and say, you do this part, I will do this part, so everything will be running smoothly. Maybe that is the best thing. So that is why, actually, if you are going to live forever, this is something you pass can be a servant forever and say, I will just serve forever. In part, you will wear out and one and two. So there will be a time when you notice that the best thing is to talk about it and arrange who's going to do this, who's going to do that. Let's have the division of the God right there. And so these are examples of the compatibility. And it also has to do with values. And when we say values, these are the values. We talk about the values of should I work, should I not work. These are individual things you can decide upon. But the value issue has to be part of what Christian family has to decide. The roles, what is the role? Those are part of the values. What is the role of the husband, what is the role of the wife? Those are going to be part of the values. You have to look into the Bible and say, where does the Bible make the line? Where does it, that's why we read that of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, we read it too. You can go to Ephesians chapter 5 and read that one too also, and see how the apostle has laid out the role. But why I gave the first two sermons to be what? To be, the ideal is this. The reason is this. Whatever is your discussion, when you begin to discuss the roles and the values and so on, you should always go back to the model. This is the ideal. This is the idea. This is what God said He wanted us to shoot towards. And this is the model that the man is giving the mission, the wife is to help him out. Then you can always say, okay, this is how we are going to structure this this thing around us. In our family, we are going to structure it anyway. If you have the two is the communication, which is the major issue. When it's communication, that is, sometimes husband and wife may not, some of them may not be able to talk without getting to upset one another, angry, and that is another issue you've got to work on. Can you talk about these issues without turning into hot exchanges? Can you be humble enough to talk about those issues, any issue, whatever the topics of issue, whatever it's called, compatibility, can you talk about it in your own house, you and your spouse, without turning into hot exchanges, hot arguments? That is the compatibility, that is the another issue that you've got. And that also has to do with how some people have been brought up. If you have been brought up to always keep quiet and you most likely will be queen, the one that is able to always talk, always like to talk. But you have to come to a place where you can all make, like a, you work in a place where they make a project. They say, five of you are going to be in this project. And one of them may be a dominant, you want to dominate everything, he's the only one always giving suggestions, and everybody just saying, oh yeah, we go to it. Or the other fellow, he does not agree, but he's not saying his own voice. He's not speaking his mind. There will be different situations, different categories of characters in a project. Whether the same thing in the household, even though it's just two people or one away, but there will be some different characteristics. Now you've got to, as you man that is leading the house, have to find a way to be able to get, to be able to draw out from the other party, from the wife, information. Opinions. If it's not the type where she's voicing it out directly by herself and wanting to control the issue, which is another issue. But you, let's say you have somebody that me and this fellow, we're going to do this project, and I'm going along, but I needed to see what she can contribute, what he can contribute. I have to draw like a deep way. You must find a way of drawing out that blue thing that the fellow has in that deep way, by putting questions in the mouth of the fellow so that he can respond. That's another way. Those are practicalities of how to handle situations when it comes to discussion. The communication is going to be a key tool in getting, resolving all of these things that we are talking about. But that in itself is, we have to discuss communication in a real way of finding out how can we talk legibly as adults without turning into a fight, without turning into argument, because that is known in the household of faith, in the household of many people, as a problem. They cannot discuss smoothly for many minutes on the topic without turning into hot argument, sometimes turning into a fight, or somebody just keep quiet and just say, well, doing whatever you want to do it, and they're not contributing anything. So those are the issues that we have to resolve when it comes to how to make this thing work and keep going towards that goal. Amen. I don't know whether you are getting me, I'm losing you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go again and read another Bible verse. I want us to read Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's read verse 33 there. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 33.
And the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility.
The fear of the Lord. Now we talk about the aspect of what God has laid out. If we know that this is how God expects, if we fear Him, we want to always say, let's come back and see, this is what we are shooting towards, because we fear the Lord. The Lord has said this is His standard, and we are all shooting towards that standard because we fear the Lord. We have to always remember that the fear of the Lord is what again?
Wisdom.
That is wisdom. If we really fear Him, we are actually wise. Because everything we have been taught in the first two sermons, which is different from this one, is saying this is what God expects. And we have to fear God enough to say, I want to do what God says. So how do we walk towards it? Let's read Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10.
Only by pride covers contention, but with the well advised is wisdom.
Is that only by pride commit contention? Now remember what I just said. I said when it comes to communication, because anything that we wanted to, like I said, we may have to discuss it. We may have to discuss it on also on any topic that has to do with life of family, husband and wife. You need to discuss it. You need to talk about it. The husband that is leading the discussion has need to try to get some gems out of the mouth of the wife, so that if he's not volunteering suggestions. So, but what does that Bible verse say again? By pride comes contention. When two people are trying to discuss, and very soon they turn to hot exchange, confrontational, contention. It's because pride somewhere. They want the pride somewhere. You see, he's on proud, or she's on proud, but there's pride somewhere. And it's only by pride comes contention. That would be by pride. That's what the Bible is telling us. And that's why I was here, always trying to point to the fact that the precepts of the Lord is all we, human, the brethren, have got to use, both in our relationship with one another and in relationship with husband and wife, the precepts of the Lord. What are these precepts of the Lord? Let's read exactly Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Let's just go and read what the Bible calls all these fruits that has to be showing in us as believers. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. All of those things that we all know, those are the fruits of the Spirit. That is the fruit of our spirit. But you see, love is the one that bear all of these fruits also, but they are distinct from that divine love. And he's saying, those are the things when you talk of temperance. What is temperance? You talk of long suffering. You're going to have to suffer long in many situations, and there will be where I can't suffer beyond this. I've got to talk about it. Yeah, there still have to be a time when long suffering will be what you need to use. Remember, I said something in the other part. I said there are some tiny little foxes, those demons. Those demons that sometimes we may not see, that they are causing all those tiny little sicknesses and offenses in the life of human beings. And some of them, they don't go by binding them, but and other demons that perhaps are not even causing sicknesses, they are causing the anger, they are causing the fighting, they are causing the quarreling. And because these are doors, remember the prophecy that we said, the general wrote, he said, the demonic scouts, they go about trying to open doors for the real big demons to come in. And the doors are the quarrels. The doors are the jealousy, the envy, the strife. Once they can make people strive in the house, then the big guns come in. with the machine guns to bring them down. I had a vision long time ago about that, where I was sniffing and coughing and and that vision, this tiny little demon seems to have tied me up, and then he called one bigger man and said, come and help me kill him. And that man was comfortably small, but just like a 10-year-old boy, and he went and called a real man. And he said, I've tied him up, come and help me kill him. And as they are coming, I said, praise the blood of Jesus, that man begin to move back. But that time he didn't move back, you see what? What I'm trying to say is that those tiny little demons, they are the ones that are more problematic, and the problem they cause is just those anger, those words, and sometimes tiny little comments, but they can be knocked off by these fruits. This is what handicaps them. While the bigger ones can be bound, you can kill them, you can do whatever, all these strange things that we bind them and cast them out, they will be cast out. By those tiny little demons, they don't get cast out. If God will kill them by long suffering, by patience, by kindness, by all those fruits of the Holy Ghost, that we just paralyze their efforts. They get paralyzed by that. But that is one of the things we need in our lives, is to show that these preachers of the Lord, they are walking as Christians, that they are walking in our lives in relating to one another, in relating to our spouses. They got to be the thing that we need to use before we can say we are overcomers, because that is the overcoming part of it. Now, the other thing we can talk about is when we say, I'm more talking about compatibility right now, in the roles. Like we talk about the church, when you look at yourself and your spouse, you will see that yeah, we have many things in common. Of course, we also may have some things that are not common, maybe some few differences. It may be in your opinion, it may be in this. But there are some things that you cannot change. Maybe you have not noticed that in your spouse. There are some things you can change, there are some things you cannot change, and you just have to live with it. That part of it is where you've got to have to begin to remember the part of the fruits of the Holy Ghost. I said you just have to be humble or just accept one another, like Bible said. Accept one another. There are some things you can change. Let me give some common examples that perhaps you have already noticed that in your spouse, in your own family, that you just have to accept it. So some of these things are common maybe because of your gender. Women may have a particular way they have been structured, and you just have to accept it. You may not be able to change it. Take for example, this is not to bring the women down. Take for example, dressing up and getting to go to church on time or this or that. You may realize that generally all women have that attitude or the lifestyle of it takes them a longer time to dress up, not so. Now the man can go with the shirt and they are on their way, they are gone, not so. And so we finish dressing up, it takes up maybe maximum of 30 minutes. I think that's too much, maybe 15 minutes. For men, maybe 15 minutes you are on your way out. And your wife may still be doing the air for the last 30 minutes. And you get upset, and very soon you want to just jump to the car and go to church, let her become in the seventh car. But sometimes you may try to yell and scream and yell and scream when you are your first marriage. And finally you just have to accept it. There are things like that you may have to accept in life about your spouse. Maybe the same thing. I remember when I went to Nigeria in 92, my in-law was complaining about his wife, which was my big sister. And he complained to me, because I happened to be a little brother and a minister of the gospel, so he said, maybe you can talk to your sister the way the man was angry or sad. What was he talking about? He was saying, because the man is part of me right now, he was saying that my sister was controlling him. How he dressed, you can't go out like that in this dress. And very soon, he was getting upset. But those are things that you just have to know. That's part understanding. Why you understand when it comes to understanding. These are some issues with understanding that there are differences between men and women. Even we don't think the same way sometimes. We say, well, but we are Christians, we should think the same way. Not in some issues like we're talking about. The way, go to the mall, go to the grocery and see, even if they are not career women, they just go to the mall. The women dress differently. They want to go there and look good. And it's part of their, and it's good. Because they don't know who they're going to run into. But men, you see them, they run into there with just a shirt and they come out and the same grocery store, they don't care whom they run into. But if my daughter begin to control that man, you can go on like that, come back inside and the woman, man get upset and say, no, this is crazy. Can't ruin my life. This is something, they are married almost 16, 17 years by that time. So what we are saying there is, you've got to understand the difference between male and female and see that sometimes you may have to live with all these fruits of the Holy Ghost. You have to let the fruits begin to manifest in your life, because if you don't and you don't have the understanding, you're going to be confrontational, argument, fighting and quarreling. That you say, compatibility says, sometimes something you cannot change, accept one another. There's a song that says, you've got to accept one another because Christ accepted us even when we cannot come to where he is. He's accepting us because he's still working on us, like you've seen. He's still working on me. Maybe I'm going to get there one day. But at least for now, he's accepting us the way we are. Maybe because in the end, we shall be like him as he's working on us gradually. He's working on us gradually. But right also, within spouses, you've got to accept some things you cannot change. Don't even try to change some things because they are like in Nigeria, we say this is a dry fish that cannot be bent. I don't know how you say it in your own language. You can't break it. If you try to bend it, it's going to break. So you can't bend some things. So the same way in life, when it comes to spouses, you just have to accept some things. You have to recognize those things you can accept, that you have to accept. Those you can still try to change by teaching. I remember a testimony that a sister said that my husband taught me how to do this, and I said, what is sister? That was sister that was giving that testimony when they had doing it. He said, my husband taught me how to do that. I said, wow. Praise the Lord, by Yato. Praise. So that's a great testimony. But that's a way, once you can train, you can teach, you can exhort, there are some things that can really be adjusted. There are some things you cannot change because it's just part of what they are, and I give that example of dressing and how long it takes. But we have to accept one another. Amen? Amen? And many other things that we may talk about when it comes to compatibility. And you can also, you can just think about it yourself, that say, is there any other area that you look at, see if we have difference of opinion? That is where compatibility comes in. It's looking how we raise our children. Difference of opinion, maybe difference of methods. It has to do with how you discipline. Maybe this spouse was raised by very disciplined parents and he thinks, if I flog them 10 times, it's no big deal. I was flogged 10 times myself when I was growing up. Why this one never was raised that way and she or he is thinking differently? No, don't flog them that way. Actually, if you come to this country where there's a different mentality, they will arrest you because of child abuse. And who knows who's going to report in the school? Those are all the things that begin to shape a background, shape people. I'm just trying to make to feel that background, maybe the way he was raised, or he has lived in this place long enough to fear what he has heard. The social workers can knock on your door and say, the school teacher called them and said, they saw a mark on your son or your daughter. And say, my mommy beat me. Your mommy beat you, and they won't call mommy, they will call social worker. So that is a background that can make people to say, brother, don't do that here. Why? Because this is a different place. But the opinions on what method to use can be different in many areas. And that is the type of thing that you will see in household of life. Difference of opinion like that. But when there is a difference of opinion, what do we do? What does the Bible say? That is where the principle that we talk about comes from. The principle of saying, the Lord sent, this is what I recommend, the Lord sent Adam on the earth and gave his wife and said, help me for him. So when there's different opinion, you now let the man make the decision. I work in a place in East America, and I made a mistake. That was the first job I got after I left ASU. And that mistake taught me a lesson that I'll never forget, and from that time I've been wise. What happened was I was given a job trying to do something like this. And I was made to be, I'll be the project, I'll be the project leader. Okay, great, so they made me project leader because I have masters. So I started recommending that this is the machine which you buy. I mean, the vendors come and say, here's our machine, another vendor saw this is a machine, and I looked at the two and I said, we should buy this one. But my boss, who I don't know, maybe he got some discount from the other vendor, he wanted that one. But I know that one has not enough features. This is what we do. But he has already signed up with them, and the other bodies that were working with us, like the other engineers, already agreed that the boss said, this is the one we are buying, that is it. But I was so ignorant, so I was saying, no, this is not good. I was saying behind him to the other engineers. The man is talking, this is the better one. You're not good, it's not going to work. And I'm not going to work on that one. And these guys, that's why I begin to be careful when I'm dealing with white boys. They didn't say anything, they kind of just kept quiet. Right? And they told the boss that Julius does not agree with you, and he said he's not going to work on that one. And that man said, really? Who is the boss here? Friday come, one Friday, and he just, actually he has said that you give him some recommendation of, you know, complete your recommendation and send it in. And I don't know what I was purposely withdrawing from doing, but I was voicing my opposition, really, voicing it out, not to the other boys, and they have told him. So he just signed my paper and said, yeah, I just, by the time he just called him and said, you know, at least come to my office as a Friday. And I went there, I said, well, gee, maybe it's maybe that I'm not sending that report. So I could make him the report and send it by email. And I walked into his office, so well, I see your email, this is what I've been asking you to do for the past 1.5 weeks. Well, sorry, it's too late right now, you are fired. So somebody has told him that, they have told him that you are purposely not wanting to do the thing that, and I, he just walked me out. And about 3 or 6 months, or not 3 months, about 5 months after, I have to work 6 months after my, what do you call it, thing. But after I thought about it, I said, gee, I thought those boys were with me when we were discussing it. They were not with me. They went and told the guy that Julius is not going to do it. So what did I say? He's the boss. So I just, from that time, well, I recommend. And once I do my recommendation, and he said, no, this is what I'm buying, you go along with it. That is what I'm saying when I say, Adam was the one that was given the mission, and the wife suggests, but they don't say, if you don't do it my way, I'm out of here, and that's stupid. Because that's almost like, if you don't accept my recommendation, I'm not going to work on that one, you still want to work in this company. That is the issue, because hey, that man was the boss, and he let me know that the same way. So, but the same way, in the household of husband and wife, that is not going to be like you go to fire the woman. Yeah, but what caused confrontation? What caused bitterness? What caused argument? These same type of things. Bible says that is when she submit. What does submit mean? It's simply saying things like that. Wives, be submitted to your husband. In that type of where there are difference of opinion. There's no difference of opinion, of course, there's nothing to submit about, you all agree, just going. But it's when I think we should go this way, and you say, no, this is where the Lord laid my heart, we should go. And you say, well, no, I'm not going that way, I'm going this way. That becomes what? Rebellion. That's what God will call it. God will say, you follow him and let him deal with this leader that is going the wrong direction. Because there's another head that is expected to be leading. And that is what we are forgetting. See, there's another head, and actually Solomon said, there's another king that is higher than this. That's what it says in the book. But all these kings of the world look like they are doing whatever they like. So remember, there is a higher king that is watching over all things. And that's why the Bible says Christ is the head of every man. And you will have more problem if you are leading this flock, and this flock decides to go this way, and this flock are going this way, and he has to be dealing with two flocks that are separating, going apart. But if you let him be leading the shepherd, and the flocks that are not following, and they are all just following the shepherd foolishly, then he will now lead the shepherd. You only have one person to lead, and the sheep are following that one person. That is what God always talk about when he says, wife, be submitted to your own husband. That's what he's talking about. You suggest, yeah, you made opinion, yeah, that you look like it's not going to take it. You say, okay, do it. Well, that's what you see in that woman's sermon that she was talking about. She said, for years, she will go into confrontational to argument and fighting and quarreling until cried and looked, and now she just said, let God handle it. That's what you should have done. Let God handle it. And see whether God will not do it. Because if God is living, if we let the Lord be leading us, are you being led by the Lord? If the Lord is leading you, do you think you can go astray? No way. Now, if you are going astray, then you are committed to the Lord, then you have to direct you into the right direction. But it's going to be difficult. If you have to drive this one, you can drive this one back, it's going to be more difficult. So you remember that. That's what we are talking about when we say, the Lord has given Adam the mission and gave the wife to help him out. You know that I'm going to help him out. When you have to do something, you just say, well, do it the way the Lord is, you register my opinion. He gave me another, I watched a video on TV some time ago that I just don't know why I wanted to be a female. It taught me a lesson. In that video, it was a TV movie. This man and his wife were in complete confrontation, argument, fighting, quarreling, and they were separating. The man was in bitterness every day. Okay, what finally happened? The man had hired the secretary and took the secretary. This is part of that I should make some sense to me. Took the secretary to the lunch. And while he was talking, he was more just talking and exposing his own mind, whatever was going on in his life and so on. And this woman was just listening. This is the secretary that he finally married, this secretary, was just listening and listening and listening. And the man talked for so long, and the man said, thank you for your advice. The man said, I didn't give any advice. I just listened. Said, really? The man said, well, from him talking and talking about what was going on in his life and what he was thinking of doing and all, he came to his own conclusion what he was going to do. The man said, I didn't say any word, I just listened. And I thought about that. I said, that woman was giving a kind of wisdom there. It's not just by trying to control this man. No, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. That is what he would have done with the wife that he had at home, that you are fighting and quarreling because this woman is controlling him and so on, according to the video, according to the movie. But if you thank you for the advice, I didn't advise, I just listen. She didn't say a word, but just being interested in the man talking, until the man talk and came to his own conclusion because he was actually thinking loud. So what you are saying is, thinking about me, you are arguing with yourself until you say, yeah, this is right to do, and the woman was smiling. So what we are saying then is, sometimes it's not just insisting that I have the right suggestion, why don't you take it? If you don't take it, I'm not going your way. That is not the way to do. Sometimes it's just listening and saying, I'm on your side. Sometimes a spouse may come from work, especially husband, wife, and maybe wife is at home. Spouse come from work, he has been beat, and he wanted to just talk to somebody. I don't know where you are going to that. Where you feel something is, you have been sitting in the office, you just want to talk to somebody. You come home, you want to tell somebody, this is what's going on in my life, the testimony that our sisters are giving it. You wanted to give testimony how somebody was trying to make them, lay them off in the office. You just want to talk to somebody. If you just listen, perhaps that's all you can do. And be on on the side of the friend that is telling you that he's just trying to tell somebody. Maybe also you know that you should now tell him what to do without him. Sometimes they work, sometimes you don't need to do that, just listen. And it will work in the end that, like that woman said, thank you for your suggestion. I said, I didn't suggest anything, I just listen. And you make your own decision. But sometimes that's all we really need. We want to vent and just tell somebody what's going on in our office, what's going on in our life. And if you let them talk and you just listen and say, I'm on your side. Not saying no, I'm on the side of the other fellow, you are not doing something right. That make him get upset again and again. But the Lord is giving us those wisdom. We can learn all of this. The Apostle James said, if anyone lack wisdom, let's wrap it up with that, because we can really talk and talk on these small, small issues forever. But let's wrap up with James. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, is what he said. And God will give him the wisdom. And it has to do wisdom with when to talk and when not to talk. Wisdom on what to say and what not to say. And he said, God will give him liability without... So James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if we all of these things that we just talked about, they are just things of wisdom, and you can read Proverbs and say, with all the books of Proverbs, it teaches us when to talk. There's a time to even talk, there's a time not to talk. He said that in another Bible verse of Proverbs, Proverbs said, answer a fool sometime according to his knowing, he said, it's time to talk to that fool that is trying to make you look foolish. But the time he said, as answer not a fool according to his foolish, that is sometimes not to even talk. So, but that is wisdom that we need to begin to ask the Lord. The Bible is full of those things, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost that we have, and the fruits of the Holy Ghost that we have, is in us, and we are letting it manifest. I wonder why in the house of God we will be having conflicts of opposition. But because we are human beings, and we have enemies that is outside there that knows how to trigger something from what you hear, or what you didn't hear, or what you think you heard, and make conflict, confrontation. Those are the things that we have to have understanding about and say, Lord, I need the wisdom to be able to read behind the lines and see what is going on in my environment, in my household, what has come on into me, into my house, so that we can resist the devil together. As you resist the devil, even if it comes from your mouth, and you say, gee, what did I say? Why did I say that? Humility to say, I will do that statement. I didn't mean that. That is humility. So all of those fruits and the wisdom we need to use them right is what we are going to first pray for tonight. Let's just stand up and pray. Let's stand up and pray. That's really the end of fellowship. Let's stand up and pray and ask the Lord for the wisdom. Wisdom to use His tools, to use His word, to let the word rule our life in all the issues that we have. And understanding that all of these things, there are differences, but the enemy also is amplifying those differences. But with God's help and His wisdom, we are overcomers. And those are the things we are going to overcome, these small, small things. And we are now going to overcome it because we have the Bible. We make it our guiding light. We have the scriptures, and then we have the exhortation one with another. Iron sharpened iron. That's what we are doing here tonight. So let's get to prayer. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus upon us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this exhortation. We know, Lord Jesus, you are the word that became flesh. And that word, which is you yourself, is what you have been making us to see that when we follow your precepts, we will win out, because we are winners, we are overcomers. That we have come to Christ is a sure assurance that we are winners. But I will know, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Ghost also is in us, because you have given us of your Spirit, Lord, to direct us, so that it shall teach us all things. It shall lead us unto all truth. Father, we pray, Lord, that your anointing will drive off all our enemies that always try to cause all this conflict in the household of faith. And Lord Jesus, we also pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you increase us in wisdom. You increase us in knowledge. And help us, Lord Jesus, God, to bear all these fruits of the Holy Ghost. Because a branch, you can see a branch of a tree and you look for fruit in that tree. The branch may have a lot of leaves and no fruit yet. But we want to have those fruits manifest. And that's what we are praying for, Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are already eating of the sap of that tree, which is you, the tree of life. And if we are sucking some sap from you, we should be bearing the fruit that you want to have, Lord. So we are praying for that fruit. Let it begin to manifest in us. To one another in the name of Jesus Christ. In our own household, Lord Jesus Christ. Let the fruit of patience begin to manifest. Let the fruit of wisdom begin to manifest. And the fruit of understanding, long suffering, let it begin to manifest. Love, let it begin to manifest. And talk about building our own tongue, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord God, to be able to control our emotions and control our tongues. And be able to manifest even this fruit to other people that are about. So that because you have said, Lord Jesus, that we should have no blemish. We are looking for a church that will be without spot, without wrinkle, and blameless. So we are praying, Lord Jesus, that you help us on the way as we run this race. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See what you're doing. Amen.
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 Amen.